The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Lost.
Good morning. Good morning.
This is Project Independence and You, which I've already said, but we have today an absolutely positively special guest, and that is Congressman Tom Suozzi.
Hey.
And go ahead, Tom.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's a total pleasure, and I do want everybody here to know that this is being pushed into Tom's schedule. Tom does not sit at home. He doesn't sit in Washington. Actually, the other day, Tom, I saw something on Facebook when you were going down to Washington to vote, and you showed that airport clip where there was nobody but you.
It was eerie. It was an eerie feeling to be in the – as a matter of fact, the airport I went to the other day, I had to actually – go to Newark to the airport because there were no planes that morning from LaGuardia or JFK. So I had to get my son to drive me over to Newark. And then I got in the airport and there was nobody there except for the airport workers. It was very eerie.
It's what's going on. But to see
then coming home, I took the Amtrak train home.
Okay.
And the train car was empty. Then I took the Long Island Railroad to Manhasset. Car was completely empty. There was one other person on the train. Then I got to Manhasset and I couldn't get an Uber. It was really freaky.
That's what I've been told. That even the Ubers are not running. They're nervous to get, you know, people in the cars with them.
Yeah. I had to go to Washington to vote on this big bill. So
actually, let's talk about the bill then. We'll go back to the other stuff, the committee you're on, but let's talk about the bill, which was important. And I know with these bills, there is a fight for small businesses to get the money. And you're seeing it more and more. The big guys, you know, $1-5 million seem to be getting it, but the $50,000, the $75,000, who needed to open their doors in the future are having a hard time. And I know you're one of the advocates and you even put together a consortium of the Congress people here on Long Island to fight for that.
Yeah, so let me just say that there was a big bill that we just passed, which was mainly about getting money for small business. But the Democrats fought and we succeeded in getting money for our hospitals.
Right.
And we had a special fund set up for hospitals based upon rate of infection, which meant a lot more money came to New York for that small piece of it. You know, in the previous bill, they handed out the money based upon 2019 Medicare data. And Texas got more money than New York, even though Texas had 2.5% of the cases and New York had 35% of the cases. So we succeeded in getting money for hospitals this time with a small fund based upon rate of infection. It was very good for our New York hospitals. And then we also got money for testing, $25 billion for testing. But the big issue is small businesses. And just so everybody knows, there's 30 million small businesses in the United States of America. 84% of those small businesses, 30 million small businesses, 84% have 20 employees or less. Wow. So they're the smaller small businesses. What happened in the first round of the small business money under what's called the PPP program is that 47% of the money went to people seeking $1 million or more. And only 17% of the money went to people seeking $150,000 or less. So I got Peter King, Kathleen Rice, Greg Meeks, and Lee Zeldin. We all did a press conference on last Friday and said, listen, banks. Listen, big businesses. Listen, big small businesses, I should say. Listen, SBA. Listen, Treasury. We're watching you. There's going to be all kinds of hearings. There's going to be all kinds of investigations months from now. That's what always happens. And we're going to be watching. Who did you look out for? We need you to look out for the little guys. We need you to look out for the mom and pop stores. We need you to look out for the doctors and dentists and the plumbers and the electrician and the small shops that really need the help right now. And if you're a big player and you got money in the bank, and you're getting one of these loans, even though you're legally entitled to get it, we're going to be coming after you to try and expose the fact that you're trying to take this money when it's really intended for the small companies. One of the other members of Congress actually said, this is a time not to ask what your country can do for you. And this is a time to ask what you can do for your country. And people got to show some good conscience here and recognize we got to get through this working together. And we have to help everyone, especially our small businesses, so they can survive, so they can keep people employed.
Adam?
Tom, just to put it on a level, you know, with most of us, right? These are basically loans, right? They're not handouts. They're expected to pay these things back, or how does that work?
Well, there's loans and there's forgivable loans.
Okay.
So you can get emergency loans, but you can also get up to 2.5 times your monthly salary. And that money will be forgivable if you keep all of your employees on the payroll.
Uh-huh.
And the idea behind that is we want people to stay working. We need to keep people surviving. And the small businesses can't afford to keep on paying their employees when there's no money coming in the door. So the federal government is in effect bailing them out if they keep their employees employed. So the idea is to try and keep these places with their head above water. Now, this is very hard for restaurants. Restaurants, which are shut down right now, they still have all of their mortgages and lease payments and debt service, which we're trying to work on, trying to help them with some forbearance on that. But then you have to help the landlords too to pay their mortgages. Anyway, so the restaurants, when we reopen again, they're not going to come right back right away. They're not going to do 100% of the same business they were doing before. Then maybe they'll do, you know, 30% of their business. You know, think about the catering halls on Long Island. You think they're going to open up right away? You know, people are going to have the same weddings they had before. You're not going to be able to have 300 people in a room. You're not going to be able to fill up every restaurant seat with everybody sitting right next to each other. So it's a very big, big program that's happening, and it's happening quickly. It's tough for the government to figure it out. It's tough for the banks to figure it out. It's tough for individuals to figure it out. But the key is we got to all pull together, Democrats, Republicans, federal, state, local, public sector, private sector, essential workers, non-essential workers. We got to all pull together to try and help each other get through this. And it's very different in New York than it is in North Dakota. You know, we have 30% of the cases in New York, 30% of the deaths. We buried my father-in-law 2 weeks ago. He was 92 years old. He got the coronavirus. He died in 36 hours. And, you know, a woman on my staff, her husband died from the coronavirus. I know so many people, haven't been in politics so long, haven't been the mayor of my hometown. I know so many people who died from this and so many people that are in the hospital. And, you know, people have a lot of anxiety about getting sick, a lot of anxiety. They're mourning people that have died. And they have anxiety about their finances on top of that. Think about it. I mean, I'm getting a paycheck right now. Think about people not getting a paycheck right now. And so think about small businesses that, you know, up and running for so many years, you know, they put life savings into it, they're succeeding, and now all of a sudden it's all been pulled out from under you.
And what you were saying there, Tom, a minute ago about the landlords, unfortunately, this is a domino effect. The waiter doesn't get paid, the restaurant owner doesn't get paid, then the landlord's not getting paid, then the bank's not getting paid. It's not like one person loses their job and they can go to a family member for help. It's tremendous. I mean, horrendous, not tremendous, it's horrendous. What's tremendous, especially with your group here in New York, is the bipartisanship. You guys are all working together, which you have to. We can't be
except
fighting.
Except for Mitch McConnell.
Well, Mitch that's McConnell. Another story. We'll get to Mitch, but he needs a whole segment.
So mad at him. He said the other day that the state shouldn't get more help, the city shouldn't get more help, the towns and villages shouldn't get help. They should declare bankruptcy. I was like, that is just so brain. We subsidize his state of Kentucky. New York State sends more money to the federal government than we get back than any other state in the United States of America. And we, in the past 5 years, we've sent $120 billion more to the federal government than we got back in services in New York State. Texas, on the other hand, in the same five-year period, took in $150 billion more than they paid in. So, you know, we're subsidizing his state, and he dares to say, you know, hey, you guys should just declare bankruptcy.
I empathize with you on, I looked at the numbers of representatives in the White House task force, and for that to be bipartisan is not going to be easy. It'll be very difficult.
The president's very difficult.
Yet you're involved with another one I saw, this Congressional Problem Solvers Caucus, which is an even Steven proposition. There's the same number of Democrats and Republicans.
25 Democrats, 25 Republicans. I'm the vice chairman.
Your battle is, I'm glad you're fighting it for us, but facts are, it's a tough one. With you're outnumbered by quite a few. How you handle that other than how you're doing it.
The president created a congressional task force, and he put a bunch of senators on and a bunch of House of Representatives on. And I'm one of only 10 members of the House of Representatives that's a Democrat. I'm the only Democrat from New York. And listen, I don't agree with the president on a lot of stuff, but you know, I've got to represent my state. I've got to fight for New York State. I've got to fight for my district, for Long Island and Queens. And, I'm pushing that New York needs special attention based upon the rate of infection. We've got 30% of the cases, 30% of the deaths. We're spending more money than other places are. I think Cuomo's doing a great job, and Governor Cuomo. And I sent a memo to the president yesterday. We were all asked to send a memo in. And I sent in a memo saying that if we want to reopen the economy, we need three things. It was a much longer document. We did the problem solvers as to the checklist of things to reopen the economy. But these are three highlight points I made. One is we need a lot more testing. We have to test people to, number one, see if they're sick. And two, we need to test people to see if they were sick and they now have the antibodies in their system, which we hope, can't prove it yet, but we think will make them immune from getting reinfected. If you've already been sick, and a lot more people have been sick that had no symptoms and have recovered already, then you know. But if you've been sick and you've recovered, you have these antibodies, you could be the person to go back to work because you're not gonna get sick again, we think. And if you go back to work, you could be the person at the front desk that greets people because you're not gonna get sick. If you haven't been sick and you don't have the antibodies, you go back to work, well, you better stay socially distant. You still got to wear the mask. You still got to wear the gloves. You still got to be 6 feet apart from people. So something just happened with my screen. Okay.
Yeah, you know what? That's just showing you we have 1 minute till the break.
Okay. So the bottom line is I said, number one, we need a lot more testing. And it's got to be through. And the federal government's got to buy the testing, because if the states buy the testing, they're all going to be competing against each other. And the prices are going to go through the roof the way they did with the masks and the gloves and everything else. Number two is we need to have contact tracers. We need to have, I say, 200,000 people all over America, get them from the Peace Corps, get them from the AmeriCorps, get them from other young college graduates, get them from people that want to work and serve their country, and have them spread throughout the country. They can get paid up to $30,000 a year. It'll cost the government $10 billion in total. And if somebody gets sick, you got to trace who else they've been in contact with. And then third, after the tracing, you need to do isolation. Because if you're sick, you can't go home and get everybody else in your house sick. Now, if you got your own room and you can stay in your own room, fine. But if you're in a small, cramped place, we got to get you a hotel room to stay in so you don't get other people sick and stop the spread. God forbid we reopen the economy and everybody gets sick again. Nobody will have any confidence in the economy or in the government.
Totally agree. We're going to take our first break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. And we're with Congressman Tom Suozzi. We'll be right back.